శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినితి నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశతారిణి జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శివాసాది గౌర భక్త బృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ. సో థ్యాంక్ యూ ఆల్ వెరీ మచ్ ఫర్ జాయినింగ్ టుడేస్ సెషన్. We have been discussing from the book Bhaktiya Loka by Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, which is a collection of 12 essays about the six favorable and six unfavorable things for the practice of bhakti, in which we are discussing the last and final essay, which is about satovritti, sadhu vritti. So that is the essay following the footsteps of the previous acharyas. That is the topic in on which we are discussing right now. So I'll do a quick recap of what we have seen till now. So he says that Bhaktivinoda Thakur starts by telling there are two kinds of sadhus, the householders and the renunciates. So he says, I will separately describe the vritti or occupation of each of them. He says, the word vritti means two things. One is propensity, another is lifestyle. He says, propensity means one's inclinations or swabhava or nature. Okay. And then he says that the natural propensities are the living entity's dharma. And says that generally, if one engages in occupation according to one's nature, it is generally very good for a person in this life and in next life. So he says that generally accepting occupations according to one's nature is favorable for devotional service also, because it actually helps the subtle body transcend the three modes more easily, right? So like that. So therefore, people can become free from the modes of nature if they pass their lives dovetailing everything, sattvic objects, activities, time and place, with devotional service of the Lord. So like that. So then he says that then he talks about a general in nature of a person in the mode of goodness, how mode of goodness is very favorable for transcending the three modes, the third mode also, like that he mentions. Then he says that there are particular things which are recommended for the particular option. Ashramas, and then there are certain things which are favorable for particular varnas. There are occupations which are favorable particular varnas. So he says that unless one makes the gross and subtle bodies favorable for devotional service, one cannot engage in such things. And one of the ways of making the gross and the subtle body favorable for devotional service is actually by engaging in occupational duties which are favorable to one's nature. Okay. So, like that he says. So, then he talks about so that way, gradually one can transcend the lower modes and come to the mode of goodness. And by coming to the mode of goodness, one can gradually transcend the mode of goodness also. When it is brought completely under the control of devotional service, you can eventually transcend the mode of goodness also. Like that. So therefore, he says there is a need for Varnashrama Dharma. While a human being remains in the stage of piety and impiety that are born of his birth. So when a human being is still considering, so there are two ways of understanding this. One thing is, as long as one has mixed devotional faith, where he still thinks in terms of piety and impiety, till then one has to perform the traditional Varnashram system completely. Or you can take this in terms of till one transcends the stage of anarthana vritti, one cannot abruptly reject the social order and favorable occupation just by thinking that bhakti is transcendental to all. So, but today morning also in Bhagavatam class, we are discussing this. Favorable occupation, occupation according to one's nature is favorable for practicing devotional service, but it's not non-negotiable. One should not say that if a devotee accepts an occupation which is not in with his nature, he can never practice devotional service and never perfect devotional service. One cannot say like that. So if you make it actually non-negotiable, then the problem is that it makes bhakti dependent on varnashrama. It makes bhakti dependent on favorable occupation. And a favorable occupation, which means you will have to accept the varnashram duties as limbs of devotional service. Because for a devotee, only the limbs of devotional service are non-negotiable. Rest is all negotiable. It may be favorable, but it is not absolutely non-negotiable. Like that. So therefore, we were discussing the word varnashrama can indicate social order. It can indicate value system. It can indicate occupations, and it can indicate the varnashrama rituals. So of these four things, whenever the acharya say that for devotees, one need not practice varnashram, one need not accept varnashrama, then it refers generally to the value system of varnashram and the rituals of varnashram. They have to be, they need not be accepted. But a generic social order and the occupations are favorable for devotional service also. They need not be whimsically rejected. So, like that. So, therefore, there is no contradiction when in the acharyas, when sometimes they very categorically mention that varsham is absolutely not necessary for devotional service, and at other times, some acharyas seem to indicate that varnashrama dharma should not be given up till one accomplishes anarthana vritti or till one reaches the stage of bhava. So, there is no contradiction there. Because depending on the context, the word varnashram means different things in these cases. So, then he talks about the conversation between Ramananda Rai and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks Ramananda Rai that what is the process for achieving the supreme goal of life, and he says varnashrama, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Eho bahya aage kaho aage. This is just external, please speak further, like that he says. And he says the purport of this statement is that, yes, varnashrama is definitely meant to regulate the gross and subtle bodies, but someone is satisfied only by practice of varnashrama without engaging in devotional service to Krishna, he does not gain anything, like that. So therefore, he says that therefore one should not, from the statement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one should not think he is outright rejecting every aspect of varnashrama, because in that case, he would not have himself accepted the grihastha ashram and sannyasa ashram, and he would not have instructed his followers to sometimes accept grihastha ashram, sometimes accept the sannyasa ashram, like that. Plus, grihastha and sannyas are part of varnashram system only. So, he says that as long as one has a material body, the system of varnashrama must be followed, but it should firmly remain under the full control and domination of bhakti. To be under the full control and domination of bhakti means those limbs of varnashrama should be practiced only on the paradigm of anukulyasya sankalpo pratikulyasya varjanam. Anything which is favorable for bhakti should be accepted, which is favorable for bhakti should be rejected. In that mode only these limbs should be accepted. So if they are accepted in that particular mode, then they become the secondary limbs of bhakti. They are no longer limbs of karma. one should attend this. Okay. So, like that he says. Then, he says that human beings are divided according to their nature. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Varna, Sankara and Antyaja. So, he says that even though the system of Varnashram is not clearly present in the other countries, but they are there in a seedling form. So, according to one's nature, one develops an occupation and his means of livelihood. But one should not accept other people's occupation and livelihood. That is not good for his growth. Okay. And then he explains that how birth is not the only criteria for Varnashrama. Actually, it is the qualities that one exhibits like that. Okay. So, therefore, he says that this kind of Varnashrama is often useful for devotional service. So, he says often means not always. Useful means not non-negotiable. So useful, there is a difference between being useful and absolutely necessary. So, useful means it is favorable. So, is often useful means sometimes they may not be useful also. Okay. Like that. So, then therefore, and then he says that when we are talking about sadhu vritti, following in the footsteps of the Mahajans, we understand Mahajans means the great souls who have lived in the past. And the Mahajans are of two types. Those who lived prior to the Mahaprabhu, they are the earlier Mahajans. And those who lived after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are the later Mahajans. And he says the activities of the later Mahajans are more reliable and they should be accepted. Which means the activities of the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are considered to be superior and they should be adopted. Okay. So, he says that then he gives many principles based on the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his followers who were householders. So, based on the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives essential teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for householders. So, one very interesting point that needs to be noted here is that even though Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur seems to indicate that there is an essential need of following Varnashrama, but when it comes to what needs to be followed, he could have easily said whatever is recommended in the Dharma Shastras one need to follow. But Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur does not say that. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, we will see what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs his followers. And based on their life, you should follow. He does not say follow the Dharma Shastras. He says follow Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says follow Chaitanya Bhagavat. So, for householders to know how they should conduct their lives, for householder devotees to know how they should conduct their lives, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is very categorical. He does not say learn from the Dharma Shastras. He says learn from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. That's what he says. So that is very clear. And he gives many principles. The first thing he says is learn from the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And second, he says any householder should find a suitable wife. Okay. And the third thing he says is learn to see the family members as servants of Krishna. So that is very critical. And then he says that householders should accumulate wealth through pious means and they should not adopt impious means to accumulate wealth. And then he says education at an appropriate age is very important, but one should not study atheistic literatures. This is the fifth teaching that he says. And the sixth teaching that he says is Atithi Seva, guest recession. Or serving the guests is very critical for householders. The seventh point he says is avoid duplicity in occupational and ordinary dealings. In occupational dealings and in ordinary dealings, one should avoid duplicity. Eighth point he says is, one should always serve senior members, you know, one's elderly father, elderly grandfather, uncles and others, one should definitely serve them, they should not be neglected. The ninth principle that he says is, cultivate internal renunciation. Don't be very eager for showing off external renunciation. Cultivate an internal mode of detachment and renunciation. And the tenth thing that he says is, be duty bound to work for everyone's benefit. Don't be very self-centered and self-absorbed and work only for your own benefit. Be eager to be duty bound to work for everyone's benefit. And then the 11th point he says is, avoid duplicitous association. And the 12th point he describes is, learn to depend on the will of the Lord. Fully depend on the will of the Lord. And the 13th thing that he says is, avoid association of non-devotees, women and uxorious people. People who are very much interested in enjoying in this material world. Okay. And then the 14th point that he says is, accumulate wealth by prescribed occupations and not sinful occupations. So choose prescribed occupations and don't indulge in sinful occupations. Then the 15th point that he says is, do not hanker for another person's wife or prostitutes. You know, one should have sexual continence and learn to be satisfied with one's own legally wed wife or husband. And the 16th point that he says is, grihasthas should very diligently learn to chant a fixed number of rounds of the holy names. Okay. And the 17th point that he says is that learn to carefully discriminate Vaishnavas from the Smarthas, even though they may be engaged similarly. Which means definitely householder Vaishnavas should learn to discriminate between the Smarthas and Vaishnavas, and they should learn to give more respect and they should learn to appreciate more the association of Vaishnavas rather than just Smarthas. And the 18th thing that he says is, there are three primary duties of a householder. They are Krishna Seva, Vaishnava Seva and Nirantara Krishna Nama Sankirtan. Okay. So serving Krishna, serving the Vaishnavas and learning to constantly chant the holy name of the Lord. Okay. And then in talking about chanting the holy name, he says, regarding serving the Vaishnavas, he says, so one should know that there are three levels of Vaishnavas, the Kanishta Vaishnava, Madhyama Vaishnava and Uttama Vaishnava. And then he says that, and one should be served accordingly. Krishneti yasya giritam manasadriyeta dikshasti chet pranatibhischa bhajantamisham shushrushaya bhajana vignyam ananyam anya nindadi shunya hridamipsita sangalabhya. Like that, three different levels of Vaishnavas should be served in different ways. But in Vaishnava Seva, do not try to invite too many Vaishnavas, because if you invite too many Vaishnavas, you will not be able to serve them properly and it might lead to offenses like that. So, and then the 17th or the 19th principle that he says is, learn to show mercy upon the poor and fallen people. Okay. So one should show mercy upon poor and fallen people. One should be charitably disposed towards them. And the 20th principle that he says is, do not commit suicide due to sentiment or anger, which means learn to tolerate extreme emotions. One should not give in to extreme emotions. And extreme emotions are generally caused due to excessive attachment. So one should try to regulate excessive attachment while living in household life. Because if excessive attachment is not regulated, then it will lead to extreme emotions and extreme emotions will lead to inappropriate activities like committing suicide, like that. And the 21st principle that he says is, do not distinguish Vaishnavas based on their birth, varna, etc. Vaishnave jati buddhi, you know, to consider Vaishnavas based on their birth and their caste is considered hellish mentality. Okay. So he says, Nicha jati na he Krishna bhajane ayogya, satkula viprana he bhajane ra yogya. Yehi bhaje sehi bada abhakta hina char, Krishna bhajane na jati kuladi vichar. Krishna bhajane na hi jati kuladi vichar. In the discharge of devotional service, there is no consideration of status of one's family. Yehi bhaje sehi bada abhakta hina char. Whoever worships Krishna, he is exalted. And a non-devotee, irrespective of his exalted birth, is always condemned and abominable. Sanyasi pandita ganera karite garvanash, nicha shudra dwara karen dharmera prakash. This was the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He always engaged in vanquishing the false pride of the so-called renunciants and learned scholars. And he spread real religious principles through shudras and other low-born men. And the 22nd principle that he mentions is, no prayas. Don't excessively endeavor for material accumulation, accumulating material things. Learn to be satisfied with little things, fewer things. Because if one over endeavors to accumulate material things, then one would want to enjoy them. So therefore, it is unfavorable. 23rd principle that he says is, the Grahastha Vaishnava should learn to perform devotional service with attention. Okay. And the 24th principle that he says is, do not disrespect the demigods of the Smartha Sampradaya. Just because the Smarthas worship the demigods, we may not worship the demigods, but we should not disrespect them also. Our respect is due for such exalted personalities, that respect should be given. The 25th point that he says is, work for the benefit of others even by giving up one's self-interest. So even if one may have to sacrifice one's self-interest, but still one should be willing to give that up in order to work for the benefit of others. So selflessness, cultivating selflessness is very critical for the householders. The 26th principle that he says is, householders should diligently respect and worship Tulsi Maharani. Sankhyana malai teye stane prabhu vaise, tatai rakhena tulasi re prabhu paashe, tulasi re dekhena japena sankhyana, e bhakti yogera tatve ke bujibe an. Wherever the Lord sits to chant his rounds, he keeps Tulsi before him. He gazes at Tulsi while he chants his rounds. Who can understand the science of devotional service? This was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed this through his own practice. 27th principle for the householders that he says is, value the importance of devotion. So value the importance of devotion. And the 28th principle that he says is, whatever social dealings one has to perform, do it while taking shelter of the holy names. So we may have certain social obligations and that, but in engaging in any of those social obligations, we should try to take, or the householder should take shelter of the holy names and then engage in them. So regarding this, it is mentioned in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita about Sri Kalidas. Mahabhagavatate ho sarala udar, Krishna nama shankete chalaya vyavahar, kautukete te ho yadi pashaka khelaya, Hare Krishna Krishna kari pashaka chalaya. Kalidas was a very advanced devotee, yet he was simple and liberal. He would chant the holy name of Krishna while performing all his ordinary dealings. When he used to throw dice in jest, he would chant Hare Krishna while throwing the dice. So therefore, he says that in whatever social dealings a householder may be obligated to engage in, he should very diligently take shelter of chanting the holy names. He should take shelter of the holy names even while engaging in his social dealings. This is the 28th point. And the 29th point, he says, is avoid corrupt means of earning and spending. Householders are allowed to earn and spend, but one should avoid corrupt means of earning and spending. And the 30th point that he says is, a householder certainly has to accept a guru, a bona fide guru. That is very important. And 31st thing, very critical point he says is, one should learn to avoid offending the Vaishnavas. Avoid Vaishnava aparad. He should be careful, particularly careful, not to commit offenses against the Vaishnavas. Ye Vaishnavastane aparadahaya yar punah se ikshamile se guchenahe ar. When someone offends a Vaishnava, he is not relieved until he is forgiven by the same Vaishnava. The 32nd principle that he says is service to Vaishnavas, accepting their remnants, foot dust and foot wash. Bhakta pada duliya rab bhakta pada jal bhakta bhakta avasheshati namahabal, like that. So, and the 33rd principle that he says is, how should a householder act until anarthanavritti is accomplished? That he mentions as the 33rd principle. He says that jata shraddho mataso nirvinna sarva karmaso veda dukkatmakam kaman parityage apyanishwarah tato bhajeta mam prita shraddhalur drida nischaya jishamanascha tan kaman dukko darkamscha garhayan. He says that yes, until anarthanavritti is accomplished, it will not be very easy for the practicing sadhaka to give up the desire for sense gratification. Sometimes he may succumb to the desires for sense gratification. So even in such case, one should not give up worship of Krishna. He should not succumb to depression, thinking that, oh, I am not able to give up my certification, this is not working, so I will give up Krishna consciousness only. Like that, one should not feel dejected and given to depression. Shraddhalu, one should not actually doubt the process. One should have firm faith in the process. One should not think, oh, looks like chanting of the holy name, process of bhakti does not work. Look, 20 years I have been chanting, but still, you know, my material desires are not going away, like that. And Dhrida Nishchaya, he should be more determined to give up sense gratification. The determination should not go away. Whether capacity to give up may be there, not be there, but the determination to give up sense gratification should not go. You know, he should maintain it. And finally, Garhayan, and whenever he succumbs, there should be a mood of repentance. Oh, I should have been little more careful. I should have been little more determined. I should have run into the association of devotees. I was very careless. So, but that does not mean throughout the day he keeps lamenting like that. He understands, he repents, but then he moves on. That is very important. So these are the principles, 33 principles. And 34th principle that he says is, definitely one should accept the initiation into the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Shraddhava naja nahai bhakti adhikari uttama madhyama kanishta shraddha anusari. So there are three types of people who are qualified for bhakti: the uttama adhikari, the madhyama adhikari, and the kanishta adhikari. like that. So, and the 35th principle that he says is, one should gradually acquire all the good qualities by taking sincere shelter of the cross-devotional service. Like that. So, so this is where 34, 35 principles have been mentioned till now, and it's not over yet. We still have more principles left, so which we are going to cover right now. But before we start today's session, if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions based on what we discussed last week or whatever we have summarized today, we can take before we start today's session. Anything anyone would like to share as add, you can please go ahead. Yes, Shakun Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam.
Prabhuji,
Prabhuji, this is the point of being charitably disposed, being charitable. So, Prabhu, whatever from my side is possible, I try to give at Janmashtami one time. But Prabhu, while going to office in train and auto rickshaw, sometimes the beggar comes or kinnaras come. So sometimes I give and many times I don't give, thinking that they will misuse the money. So, and then I feel bad that I will become hard-hearted. So
yeah,
how to understand it?
Well, see, actually we could carry prasadam and distribute it to them. And sometimes you can give money also. Because it's not that, you know, you give them money and if they misuse, you know, it's not that you will get any reaction for that. Many times it is spoken like that, but it is not like that. Because you are giving them money because you are not able to tolerate their suffering. So it is certainly not wrong. What are we doing to alleviate their suffering? Actually, we should do something to alleviate their suffering. Of course, it is practically not possible to see every suffer. Whenever you see any suffering soul, then to give in charity is not possible. But certainly, one should not use that as an excuse to not be charitable. To be charitable is very important. One should not think that, oh, if I give the money, he may misuse it. Of course, anything can be misused. But that does not mean we stop. That does not mean a person is going to purchase liquor and you go and give him money so that he can purchase liquor. If you know for sure that he is going to misuse it, no. But if someone says, you know, I have not eaten for 2 days, please give me some money. And if you have some prasad, we can give. But if you don't have prasad, if you have some money, we can give. So, yes, it is true that he may purchase some BDs or some liquor to drink. But at least you don't know that for sure. I mean, that way, if you see someone maybe selling vegetable cutting knives, you know, that may be his profession. But someone may purchase that knife and use it to kill someone. So, does it mean that whoever sold that knife will get a part of that reaction? It is not like that. That way, if you see, no one can escape any reactions, because anything that you do can be utilized. So, you give some money, you purchase something from the market, the shopkeeper gets some profit, and using that profit, he can use it in some nefarious means. So that way, anyone can misuse anything. But that does not mean that we should give up our charitable disposition. So if we are concerned that people may misuse, then we can carry some prasada and other such things, and we can distribute it to them like that.
Yes, Prabhu. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Mother Gail.
Hi, Krishna Prabhu. Yeah.
Krishna.
Before I ask my question, I'm I'm glad that you mentioned this point that because we do, I mean, I certainly often hear that we should not give in charity to people when we don't know how they will use, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard that many times, you know. So, I don't know. I guess the point is, therefore, that we should try to have some reasonable understanding of how the person will intend to use the money. Because, for example, if a person is begging for money because they are hungry, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, most people are meat eaters, you know. So, so we should probably not give money to total strangers, since most likely they're going to use the money for, you know, wrong things.
Purchasing meat. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right? Wouldn't you say that's correct?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's fair. That's fair. So that is why we could carry some prasad and distribute it to them if that is possible. If that is not possible, then we can ourselves purchase some non-meat things and give it to them. That is also possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, purchase, take them to, you know, a restaurant or something and purchase. So you can tell them, see, you are hungry and I am willing to give something in charity, but I have certain principles. I cannot give in charity by which you will purchase meat. So I will purchase some, you know, vegetarian burgers for you or something like that. So we could do something like that.
Okay, Prabhu. My real question was about the different aspects of Varnashram. So I just needed to clarify a couple of the aspects. So when we say, can you distinguish me social order from occupation? Because occupation seems to be part of the social order.
Correct. Correct. They are connected. But I specifically made that discrimination because occupation is not just a part of the social order, but it's a very, very critical part of the social order. So, and occupation is specifically mentioned, an occupation according to one's nature is specifically mentioned to be favorable for devotional service also. That is why I separately mentioned occupations, even though occupation is also very much a part of the social order.
Okay. So when you say social order as an aspect of Varnashram, you're including both ashram and occupation, but you singled out occupation just because it's such a critical, favorable aspect.
Yes, yes.
That's the
answer. Yeah.
Okay. And then one last thing about Varnashram is the value system.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about the value system of Varnashram, we're basically focusing on the faith that people have in the result of following Varnashram, which is normally heavenly planets. Or
not just that. That is one aspect of it. Another is on what basis they accept and reject certain activities, certain duties, etc. They accept it based on, you know, whatever is prescribed according to the Varna and Ashrama duties, they will accept. And whatever is not according to the Varna and Ashrama prescribed duties, they will reject. But when devotees accept, you know, some part of Varnashram, they accept it purely based on the principle of Is it favorable for my bhakti? I will accept. If it is unfavorable for my bhakti, I will reject. So, in the Varnashram value system, there is no question of, if that occupation or that duty or that ritual that we accept is favorable for pure devotional service or not. There is no consideration of that. If it is favorable for that nourishment of that varna and ama, then they accept it. But we don't accept with that kind of discrimination. Our discrimination is, if it is favorable for my pure devotional faith, if it will nourish my pure devotional faith, if it will facilitate my practice of pure devotional service, then I will accept it. If it is not, then even if it may be recommended to be very favorable for my varna and ashrama, I will not accept it. So that value system, what is the paradigm of acceptance and rejection of particular rituals, particular activities, etc., that should be based on the paradigm of pure devotional service and not the paradigm of varnashrama. That is the point.
Okay. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Okay. So, if there are no further discussion points, comments, questions, we will continue. 35 points. This is, again, I want to make this point very clear. Even though Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about the necessity of accepting varnashrama, but interestingly, when he gives instructions for householders, how should householders conduct their lives, he might have very easily told they should conduct their lives according to the guidance of the Dharma Shastras. But he does not say that. He says they should conduct their lives according to the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. How Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu guided his householder disciples, based on those teachings one should conduct oneself. So, Gaudiya Vaishnava householders, they should know what is their pramana to conduct their lives. What is the what is the guidance manual for conducting their lives? So, is it the Dharma Shastras? No. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, it is Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. So that is how a householder following the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, that is the basis of his conducting his life. That's what he says here. So 35 points we have seen. Now we will continue this discussion further and see how far we can go today. So he says, a grihastha Vaishnava should be eager to associate with advanced devotees. This is the 36th point. Eagerness to associate with advanced devotees. Okay, this is very critical. Okay. So he says that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is stated, Krishna Bhakti Janma Moolahai Sadhu Sangha. The root cause of devotional service to Lord Krishna is association with advanced devotees. So, in the beginning, it is very critical to progress further. It is very critical. And at the perfected stage also, it is very critical. So, out of all the processes of devotional service, one should give earnest attention to the five limbs mentioned in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is the 37th point. Give diligent attention to the five potent limbs. So, what are the five potent limbs? Sadhu Sangha Nama Kirtan Bhagavat Shravan Maturavasa Shri Murti Rashradhaya Sevan Sakala Sadhana Sreshta Ei Pancha Anga Krishna Prema Janmaye Panchera Alpa Sangha. So he says, one should associate with devotees. One, Sadhu Sangha, chant the holy names of the Lord. Two, Nama Kirtan, hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Number three, Bhagavat Shravan. reside at Mathura. Mathura was for worship of the deity. Shri Murtira Shraddhaya Sevan. This is the fifth point. Okay. And veneration, with faith and veneration. These five limbs of devotional service are the best of all. Even a slight performance of these five awakens love for Krishna. Duruha Adbhuta Viryesvin Shraddha Durestu Panchake Yatra Svalpapi Sambandha Saddhiyam Bhava Janmane. He says that these four limbs of devotional service have inconceivably powerful potency. So even if one may perform these any of these five limbs, even little bit, even without faith, but if that performer is free of offenses, immediately even faithless performance of these limbs will lead one to the stage of bhava. Like that it is mentioned. So this is the 37th thing. And then as the 38th thing, the 38th principle, he says, gradually one should diminish following the prescribed rules out of obligation and cultivate spontaneous attachment, which means gradually give up dependence on secondary limbs of bhakti and take up to spontaneous devotional service. Okay. So one should gradually, as and when one progresses and develops more and more natural detachment, bhakti pareshan bhavo viraktir anyatra chesha trikayeka kala, right? So as and when one progresses in the path of bhakti, gradually he will develop natural attachment. And when that natural detachment develops, one should start giving up following the prescribed rules out of obligation. Okay. So this prescribed rules also refers to Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Okay. Prescribed rules can also mean Vaidhi Sadhana. And cultivate spontaneous attachment refers to Raganukha Sadhana. Okay. Let's see in what sense he is mentioning it here. When spontaneous attachment to the Lord is awakened, many prescriptions are automatically discarded and atonement becomes needless. The difference is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita as follows. Kamatya jikrishna bhaje shastra agyamani devarishi pitradikera kabu nahirini vidhi dharma chadi bhaje krishne rachara nishiddha papa charitara kabu nahiman. Agyane vaha yayadi papa upasthita krishna tare shuddha kare nakara nakaraye prayas chitta. So he is quoting two verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. One is Devarishi Bhutaptananam Pitranam Nakinkaro Nayam Ranicha Rajan Sarvatmanaya Sharanam Sharanyam Tato Mukundam Parihritya Kartum. This is one verse. The second verse he is talking about is that what is that verse? This is again in the 11th canto. He says, Dhunoti Sarvam Hridi Sannivishta. That is that verse. Dhunoti Sarvam Hridi Sannivishta. The Lord present within the heart destroys all the sins, like that he says. I am not able to exactly recollect the verse. Anyways, not that blazing fire thing. There is the 11th canto, he says, Dhunoti Sarvam Pradisannivishta. That is the verse. Anyways, so he says, if a person gives up all material desires and completely engages in the transcendental loving service of Krishna as enjoined in revealed scriptures, he is never indebted to demigods, sages or forefathers. Although the pure devotee does not follow all the regulative principles of Varnashrama, he worships the lotus feet of Krishna. Therefore, he naturally has no tendency to commit sin. If, however, a devotee accidentally becomes involved in sinful activity, Krishna purifies him. He does not have to undergo the regulative form of atonement. Nishiddha acharato daivat prayaschittam tu na uchitam iti Vaishnava shastranam rahasyam tadvidam matam. Like that he says. So here he says, gradually give up dependence on Vaidhi sadhana. That's what here he means. So Vaidhi sadhana, and move on to Raganuga sadhana, you know, along with when visible symptoms of progress, like that. Yeah, swapada moolam bhajata priyasya tyaktanya bhavasya hari pareshah vikarma yachot patitam katanchit dhanoti sarvam hridi sannivishta. Swapada moolam bhajata priyasya. So one who worships the lotus feet of Krishna, tyakta anya bhavasya harihi pareshah, while giving up all the other bhavas, meaning anya abhilashita shunyam, without any other desire, if one worships the lotus feet of Krishna, and without dependence on jnana and karma, jnana karma dhyanavritam, then such a person, vikarma yachot patitam katanchit, is somehow or other, due to influence of material vasanas, if he performs a forbidden activity, dhunoti sarvam hridisannivishta, the Lord who is present within the heart of that devotee, he himself destroys all the sinful reactions. So therefore he need not engage in any other karmakandiya, prayaschitta, to overcome those sins, like that. So this is the 38th principle. Then the 39th principle that he teaches is, a grihastha Vaishnava should not endeavor for any knowledge or renunciation other than knowledge of one's relationship with the Lord in devotional service and renunciation born from devotional service. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayatyashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayadahaitvam. So naturally, one develops knowledge and renunciation by practice of bhakti. So other than that knowledge and renunciation, which one develops by natural practice of bhakti, one should not separately endeavor for jnana and vairagya. So because that makes the heart hard. No separate endeavor for jnana and vairagya. No separate endeavor for jnana and vairagya. And other than the knowledge of one's relationship with the Supreme Lord, that one can cultivate. One's natural sambandha jnana related to bhakti, that one should endeavor to accept, but not separately endeavor for the kind of jnana which is prescribed in the jnana shastras. And one should not practice vairagya separately from one's own practice of bhakti. If one begins the worship of Krishna with special care and eagerness, then he achieves all auspiciousness. As stated in Chaitanya Charitamrit Madhya Leela, jnana vairagya di bhakti kabu nahe anga ahimsaya maniyama di bule Krishna bhakta sanga. The path of speculative knowledge and renunciation is not essential for devotional service. Indeed, good qualities such as non-violence and control of the mind and senses automatically accompany a devotee of Lord Krishna. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavatya kinchana sarvair gunais tatra samasate sura. Automatically all good qualities are developed in a devotee when he takes up to devotional service. One need not separately endeavor for developing these qualities. Right? So he says, this is the 39th teaching that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving to the householder Vaishnavas. And then the 40th he says is the gradations of devotion to Lord Krishna are stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita and one should cultivate them as follows. Okay, so this is the 40th point. He says that one should endeavor to gradually progress from Shraddha to Prema while diligently trying to understand where one is and how to get to the next stage. This is very critical, right? So one should endeavor to gradually progress from Shraddha to Prema while diligently trying to understand where one is and how to get to the next stage. Where one is situated and how one can gradually get to the next stage. Okay. So this he is quoting from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says, Sadhu Sange Hai Tehaya Shravana Kirtan Sadhana Bhaktya Hai Shrava Sarva Anartha Nivartan Anartha Navritti Hai Le Bhaktya Nishta Hai Te Shravana Adye Ruchi Upajai Ruchi Hai Te Bhaktya Hai Asakti Prachur Asakti Hai Te Chitte Janme Krishna Pritian Pur Sei Bhava Gada Hai Le Dhare Prema Naam Sei Prema Prayojana Sarvananda Dham Sadhu Sangha Hai Te Haya Shravana Kirtan. So Sadhu Sangha leads to Shravana Kirtan, which is Bhajana Kriya. Sadhana Bhaktya Hai Sarva Anartha Nivartan. Bhajana Kriya leads to Anartha Nivritti. Sarva Anartha Nivartan. Anartha Nivritti Hai Le Bhaktya Nishta Hai. When Anartha Nivritti is accomplished, one's practice of Bhakti becomes very steady. Nishta Hai Te Shravan Adhya Ruchi Upajay. And after Nishta comes, a taste for the practice of the limbs of devotional service. Ruchi Hai Te Bhakti Hai Asakti Prachur. So, Ruchi leads to the next stage, which is Asakti, which is a desire to a deep attachment to serve Krishna and please Krishna. Asakti Hai Te Chitte Janme Krishna Pritiyankur. Then that Asakti naturally leads to Preeti Ankura or Prema Ankura, which is Bhava. Sei Bhava Gada Hai Le Dhare Prema Naam. When that Bhava becomes very, very condensed, it is called as Prema. Sei Prema Prayojana Sarvananda Dham. And this Prema is the ultimate goal of one's practice of Bhakti. And that is a reservoir of all transcendental pleasure. Sarva Ananda Dham. Like that. So this is the 40th principle that he is telling. And the 41st principle that he says is, chant constantly and avoid offenses. Okay. Agrastha Vaishnava should constantly chant the holy names while carefully giving up the 10 offenses, as stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Bhajane Ramadhyya Sreshta Navavidha Bhakti Krishna Prema Krishna Dite Dare Mahashakti Taramadhyya Sarva Sreshta Nama Sankirtan Niraparade Nama Lele Pai Premadan. Among the ways of executing devotional service, the 9 prescribed methods are the best. Navada Bhakti is the best. Okay. And then he says, for these processes, have great potency to deliver Krishna and ecstatic love for him. But of the 9 processes of devotional service, the most important is to always chant the holy name of the Lord. If one does so, avoiding the 10 kinds of offenses, one very easily obtains the most valuable love of God. So therefore, Taramadhyaya Sarvasreshta Nama Sankirtan. Of the 9 limbs of devotional service, the most exalted limb is actually Nama Sankirtan. Niraparade Nama Laile Paya Premadan. And if one chants that holy name without offenses, then one very easily obtains the love of Godhead. So then this is the 41st principle, and the 42nd principle that he gives to the householders is that accept pure devotional service that is not based on religious sentiments. So, which means one should have proper Shastriya Shraddha. One should have a faith which is based on Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, and one should not merely out of sentiment accept you know, the principle of the path of pure devotional service. He says a householder should accept pure devotional service that is not based simply on religious sentiments. In the Chaitanya Bhagavad, the Lord states, Moranritya de kite uhara kona shakti payapana karile ki motehaya bhakti. What qualification does he have to watch my dancing? By drinking milk, can he attain devotion to me? So this is the milk drinking brahmachari who wants to be, who wants to see the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Nama Sankirtan at Shiva Sangan. So, he begs Shiva Thakur to give him an opportunity to, you know, at least see that while hiding somewhere. So he hides somewhere, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I am not getting any ecstasy today in this Nama Sankirtan. Is there some unqualified person who is not supposed to be here, but he is there? And Shiva Thakur says, no, there is no unqualified person. There is a very exalted person. He's a brahmachari, and he's so austere that he drinks only milk. Such an austere person, such a simple person. So he's here. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becomes angry. He says, Moranritya de kite uhara kona shakti. What qualification does he have to watch my dancing? Payapana karile ki motehaya bhakti. He says, do you think by drinking milk one can attain devotion to me? Like that, he says. So, can one attain devotion to me just by drinking milk? Like that. Okay. And then, so therefore, one should accept pure devotional service that is not based on religious sentiments. So one may be very pious, one may be very nice, one may have good qualities, but these are not qualifications for devotion. But if someone receives the seed of devotion, these good qualities may enhance. These good qualities become very favorable practice of devotion. But these good qualities in themselves will not become the cause of his devotion. No, that is not true. So this is the 42nd principle instruction that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives to his householder disciples. Then the 43rd principle that he says is that the mood of servitude is proper for a living entity, and the mood of being lord is detrimental. Give up lording mentality and accept the mood of servitude. Okay. So, as stated in the Chaitanya Bhagavat Madhyakanda, it is mentioned, Udara Bharana Lagi Ebe Papi Sabha Lavoyai Ishwara Ami Mule Jarad Gava Kukurera Baksha Deha Ihare Laiya Balaye Ishwara Vishnu Maya Mugda Haiya. All sinful persons claim to be God in to fill their bellies, although factually they are idiots. Accepting the material body, which is meant to be eaten by dogs, they call themselves God under the influence of Lord Vishnu's external energy. Like that. So, like that he says, that so one should give up this lording mentality and accept the mood of servitude, which is very favorable. So, then the 44th principle is the same as the first principle, but again reiterated here. He should model his character after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. So a grihastha Vaishnava should model his character after that of Lord Chaitanya and his followers. A householder should follow the ways of life and obtain the means of livelihood as exhibited by Lord Chaitanya and his followers. If one desires Krishna in all his activities, then those activities are auspicious. By endeavoring to gratify one's senses and attain irrelevant fruits, one becomes a materialist. For a devotee to remain a householder or to become a renunciate is the same thing. Okay. Srila Ramananda Rai, Sri Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Sri Shivas Pandit, Sri Shivananda Sen, Sri Satyaraj Khan, Sri Advaita Prabhu were all grihasthas and have shown us the way of faultless living. The difference between a householder and the renunciate is due to their different means of livelihood. If the home is favorable for a devotee's devotional service, then he should not leave. This is a very important point. Many times people say, is vanaprastha mandatory for devotees? Is vanaprastha ashram mandatory for devotees? After 50 years, should every vanaprastha, should every householder give up his home and accept vanaprastha? No, this is not mandatory. If the home is favorable for a devotee's given service, then he should not leave. You see, in the traditional Varnashrama system, when the heart becomes purified, one should give up home. Even though in the home, everyone may be a pure devotee, but that does not matter. But on the path of devotional service, if someone on the path of devotional service, if home is favorable for cultivation of devotional service, the devotee should not give up home. So many times this is quoted, Panchashordvam Vanam Brajet. After 50, one should go to the forest and take up vanaprastha. But this is not mandatory for devotees. It is his duty to remain a grihastha with detachment. Okay. So, okay, some of the points we did not write. So, 45th principle that he says is, he should desire Krishna in all his activities. Okay. This is the 45th principle. Okay. 46th principle is there should be no endeavor to gratify senses. Okay. 47th is if home, oh, this is this he says in the next slide. He says 47th. If home is favorable for devotional service, one should not give it up. Okay. It is his duty to remain a grihastha with detachment, but remain at home with detachment. Okay. But when the home becomes unfavorable for his service, he then becomes eligible to leave home. So, but when the home becomes unfavorable for his service, then then he should leave home. Then he becomes eligible to leave home. So at that time, the detachment he develops for his house through his devotional service is accepted. Okay. So, if home is unfavorable and if one has developed detachment from home due to his practice of devotional service, then he can leave home. Then he can leave home. Okay. Like that. For this reason, Shiva's Pandit did not leave home. And for this reason, Swarup Damodar took sannyas. All genuine devotees have remained either at home or in the forest due to this consideration. Whoever has left home due to this consideration is called a genuine renunciate. So whoever leaves home due to this reason is called a genuine renunciate. Not for escaping the responsibilities, but genuinely for this reason. He is always careful not to commit offenses against the holy name. Again, he is mentioning this point that but never commit nama aparad. Okay. So, in this way, 50 points, okay, he gives for how a householder Vaishnava should conduct his life. How a householder Vaishnava should conduct his life. So 50 points. So now he is going to consider the occupation of a renunciant. Okay. So the occupation of a renunciant. So let us use the red color for this. Okay. Just to differentiate. Not that red is better, black is bad. Not like that. But just to differentiate, you know, we have seen, you know, for the householders. But before we continue this discussion, if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions based on what we have seen till now, you can please ask. If there is any quick discussion points, comments, questions, we can take now before we move forward. Anything anyone would like to share, ask, add, you can please go ahead. Yes, Hari Prasad Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
You don't hear me?
Yeah.
Prabhu, if a devotee feels the responsibilities at home as a burden,
okay,
and he may feel that it is entangling me, and mm-hmm. he wants to take out more time for Krishna.
Okay.
So, if he leaves home in that mood, is it a right attitude? Is it recommended, not recommended?
Well, it depends on, so whether, but if having, after leaving home, if he is seen to not take serious responsibility even for Krishna, then that is a symptom that he just wants to run away from responsibilities. So it's not that if one is seriously yearning for solid association of devotees, and which one may not get at home. So for that reason, if he leaves home and let's say joins the Brahmachari ashram or something like that, and he relishes that and he becomes very enthusiastic in that association, serves very diligently in that association, then that is perfectly fine. But if one does not take serious devotional responsibilities even after leaving home, then probably he is just trying to escape responsibilities, and he wants some validation that, okay, at least if I be in Brahmachari ashram, people will appreciate, they will not criticize me for running away from responsibilities like that. So therefore, one has to very carefully observe that either take the responsibility staying at home and practitioner consciousness, or take the responsibility of, you know, the institution, institutional responsibilities, and practice devotional service in the association of devotees.
Okay. The taking responsibility is a mandatory for a sadhana bhakta, right? Is it?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, definitely. Right. Responsibility definitely will only help a person grow.
Okay.
Of course, there are details to it. What constitutes responsibility? Who decides the responsibility? How should responsibility be taken? And those things are there. Those are details. But the fact is, one should not leave home just so that, like Prabhupada says, that you know, we don't want freeloaders, you know, who come and just stay without wanting to seriously improve their practice of devotional service. They just want to stay and relax, have a relaxed life without any responsibilities. You know, that is not favorable actually.
Oh, actually, till now, I'm thinking that, okay, what you like service to Krishna, you do it as you wish, I mean, as you like, and as you, either out of love for the activity or the love for the authority. So, this kind of things I had. So, now first time I had.
True. Responsibility no, also. I have not. See, that is also responsibility, right? Not that. So, if you want to seriously serve Krishna in a way that you like, not that you just stay there and accept the facilities available from the institution. So you see, you may wish to serve in a way that you like, but of course that does not mean that every single moment of the day you want to engage only in activities which you like. That's not what it means. So it means that you always have an option at least to spend a good part of the day. You can engage in activities or limbs of devotional service of your choice. But that does not mean you say that, oh, I don't like this limb, I will not do. It's not that if 24 hours of the day you want to engage only in activities which you like. That's not what it means. It just means that it means that, you know, all the free time you utilize in engaging in devotional activities that nourish you. And it also means that you can actually have a fruitful discussion with your authorities and explain to them that you will be more fruitfully contributing to the mission if you engage in these particular services. So that kind of scope is there. You can always have that healthy discussion with the authorities. That scope is there. That's what it means. But that does not mean that you'll be adamant, okay, I don't like this, I will not do it. Not, that should not be the mood. But the point is, there is always scope for negotiation. There is always scope for clarification to the authorities, where you can explain that I feel that I can contribute much better to the institution by engaging in these services like that. That scope is always, that is what it means.
Okay. And I just some imaginative case, just let's say, seeing the instructions here, if some devotees had taken, let's say, mentioned that chant, one should chant continuously throughout. So some devotee had taken this instruction so seriously, they're just chanting always, but they're not taking responsibility through this. I mean, they're not ready to hear from anybody. They understood this is the highest of everything. So they are just continuously chanting. Of course, whatever time they have, apart from basic things. And they're not ready to take any proper responsibilities or hearing to anybody. So I'm confused with this category of people. Seems they're doing good. At the same time, something wrong there.
Well, actually, there are, I don't want to make a very blanket statement. Such people can be irresponsible people also. Such people may have genuine attraction to the holy name also. So both categories of people may be there. So unless you try to understand, it is, I cannot comment. Because you do see in the case of Akinchan Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, their story, I think you know this, Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Maharaj, when he was a brahmachari, and Akinchan Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj was also a brahmachari in that same ashram. So, Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Maharaj used to, he was the temple authority. His job was to engage everyone in services. But Akinchan Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj would not do any service. He would, throughout the day, morning to evening, sit in one corner and keep chanting. So one day, Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Maharaj, he got frustrated. He went to Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur and complained about Akinchan Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj. Throughout the day, he is chanting and he is not doing any services. So you should please tell him, you know. Said, no, from now, I am relieving you of all the services. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur said, I am relieving you of all the services. So 3 times a day you will get prasad at your place. All you need to do is sit from morning to night and chant. Okay, do it. So Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Maharaj thought, okay, fine. And then he sat. I think more than 2 days he could not do. And so he told Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, no, I'm sorry, I cannot do it. He said, that's right. He is able to do it. Don't disturb him. You are not able to do it. You engage in this kind of services. This is also there. Huh? But you cannot apply this, tell this story and say that everyone would fall within the category of Akinchan Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj. But historically, what kind of a devotee he turned out to be, everyone came to see actually. Many sannyasis would seek his shelter in the Gaudiya Mutts. So eventually he became like very exalted. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur could clearly see this, that he was a very exalted person. So therefore he told Bhakti Pragyan Kesha Maharaj, don't disturb him, provide him with prasad and let him sit and chant throughout the day. But having said that, there could be people who may not have that kind of taste for chanting. They may just be not wanting to take responsibilities. That is also there. So such people, how do you know? You can tell them, if you have so much taste for the name, then you may go and stay in Vrindavan, do Madhukari, and keep chanting. Because ultimately, one should not feel a sense of entitlement. I am doing the greatest service of chanting. The institution, all the grihasthas, they should contribute their hard-earned money so that I can sit and chant. One should not feel that sense of entitlement. That is not very favorable. Because that mood does not go well with the qualification to chant continuously. Trinadapi suni chena tarorapi sahishnuna amani nanadena kirtaniya sadahari. So if those qualities are there, only such a person can continuously chant. Otherwise, it is just a question of time when, you know, he will not be able to chant continuously. So therefore, I cannot give a blanket answer, because there are cases when people plainly did not want responsibilities. They just wanted to, they just wanted to enjoy the facility, free facility available in the institution in the name of chanting. And there have been very sincere people, very advanced people having genuine taste for chanting the holy names. And such people have also been there. So you cannot make one rule and say that whoever is there, send, ask them to do Madhukari and leave the ashram. You cannot say like that, because there are both class categories of people. Does it make sense?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Mother Gail.
Oh, sorry, Prabhu. When you were discussing the fact that one of the points was that the sadhaka should go from Vairi Bhakti to Raganuga Bhakti, right?
Gradually, and so, when one crosses the stage Anartanavritti and Nishta, then gradually it is time to move on to cultivation of more spontaneous devotional service, the Raganuga path, like that.
Yeah.
But not premature. Right.
It just sounded a little bit strange to me, only because, I mean, I understand gradual thing has to be there, but, you know, because Raganuga is spontaneous in nature, to make like deliberate steps to perform Raganuga seems a little bit more spontaneous.
No. Not in that sense. Deliberate attempt here means if you clearly sense that manifestation of the greed in your heart, still don't be attached to the path of Vaidhi, Sadhana Bhakti. Under proper guidance, be willing to move on to the realm of Raganuga Bhakti. That's what it means.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Okay. So if there are no further discussion points, comments or questions, we will move forward to the next part, which is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions about the occupation of a renunciant. You know, what is expected of renunciants? Okay. He says, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke to the renunciate Raghunath Das Goswami as follows. So what are the instructions for renunciates? Bhalakai levai ragira dharma acharila. Raghunath Das has done well. He has acted suitably for a person in the renounced order. Bhalakaila, he has done well. Vairagira dharma acharila, he has suitably acted for a person in the renounced order. Vairagi karibe sada nama sankirtan. Magiya khaiya kare jivana rakshan. So, first thing, he says, a person in the renounced order should always chant the holy name of the Lord. Always chant the holy name. He should beg alms to eat and he should sustain his life in this way. Second thing, beg and maintain oneself. So, in the typical... Yeah. Are all these instructions applicable to brahmacharis? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Not all instructions may be applicable to brahmacharis, but the mood is certainly applicable. Okay. So, they cannot say that, okay, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has told that a renounced person should always chant the holy name. I will always chant, don't give me any services. One should not say like that, right? So then he should be willing to follow the next principle also. Beg alms to eat. And so how do we know that I am qualified to chant all time? So which means I should be willing to also give up the institutional facilities and the institutional warmth, you know, that we get and go out, beg and live. Don't be attached to the facilities. So, because bhakti pareshanubhavo viraktir anyatra chaisha trikayeka kala. So, our attachment to chanting, proportional to that attachment to chanting, that vairagya should also develop. You cannot say, look, give me 3 times prasad and weekly at least once or twice I need paneer sabji and no non-spicy, proper spaisadam and hot rice and but don't give me all 3 times rice, I need chapatis, but also not chapatis all the time, at least weekly once or twice give me some parathas, and I will sit and chant throughout the day. It is not like that. If you have desire for chanting throughout the day, then proportional to that desire to chant throughout the day, one should manifest vairagya also. So, which means non-dependence on the facilities of the that the institution is giving. Okay. So, that is very important. So, one need not beg and maintain oneself, but one should be ready for it. One should be ready for it. One should not be very eager actually to accept all the facilities and Prabhu, I want to go to anytime I want to go to Vrindavan because I have lot of attraction for Vrindavan, right? So you should facilitate it. So every time I want to go to Vrindavan or Mayapur, I should get a flight ticket. So I will travel by flight because, look, you need at least some pure devotees in the institution, right, who have dedicated themselves to chanting the name. And so in that case, why do you need a flight ticket? Because bhakti pareshano viraktir anyatra chaisha trikayeka kala. Along with bhakti, proportionately virakti should also develop. Virakti means what? Non-dependence on facilities. So one should not say that I will always chant the holy name, don't give me any service. But at the same time, I want 3 times prasad which is perfectly arranged. And I want a person, and look, Prabhu, I don't want to waste even the time to walk down to the dining hall to honor prasadam. Someone should deliver it to my room. Okay. So no, the Goswamis did not have personal servants. Goswamis used to personally do madhukari. They used to personally cook. Or sometimes if they did not have the time to cook, they did not have a personal servant who would cook for them. They would just, you know, Jiva Goswami many times used to just mix the Yamuna mud along with the Yamuna water and then just eat that sometimes. So that is what it means. Vairagi karibe sada nama sankirtan magiya kaiya kare jivana rakshan. Magiya kaiya. He should beg and eat. That is how he should maintain his life. Then he says, Vairagi haiya eva kare paraksh parapeksha karya siddhi nahe Krishna karena upeksha. A vairagi, a person that renounced order, should not depend on others. This is very important point. Okay, this is very important point. Non-dependence on others. Okay. If he does so, he will be unsuccessful and he will be neglected by Krishna. Karya siddhi nahe Krishna karena upeksha. Krishna will do upeksha. He will neglect that person. Vairagi hai akare jipara lalas paramartaya ara hai rasera vash. Fourth thing. There should be no eagerness to eat palatable foodstuffs. If a renunciant is eager for his tongue to taste different foods, his spiritual life will be lost and he will be subservient to the tastes of his tongue. Vairagi rakritya sada nama sankirtan shaka patra phalamule udharabaran. The duty of a person in the renounced order is to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra always. He should satisfy his belly with whatever vegetables, leaves, fruits and roots are available. So, this is the fifth point, which is satisfy the belly with simple foods. In an institutional setup, what this means is whatever comes on your plate, accept it. That's what it means. If it does not suit you, don't eat. But don't complain also. Okay. That is what it means. Shaka patra phala mule udarabaran. Like that. Jihvara lala saye iti uti dhai. Shishnodara parayana krishna nahi pai. One who is subservient to the tongue and one who thus goes here and there, devoted to the genitals and the belly, cannot attain Krishna. So, one should not give in to the urges of tongue, belly and genitals, BTG. Okay, TBG. If you are dedicated to TBG, then you will not be able to go BTG, back to Godhead. Agramya kata na shuni be gramya varta na kahi be bala na kai be ara bala na peri be. Okay. The seventh principle is no prajalpa. Do not talk like people in general or hear what they say. and do not eat luxurious food. This is the eighth principle. No luxurious food. And the ninth principle is, do not dress luxuriously. Do not dress to attract people's attention. Dress is for covering the body and not to attract other people's attention. Amani mana dahaya Krishna nama sadalabe vraje radha Krishna seva manasa karibe. So the 10th principle is, do not expect honor. Amani, but offer respects to all. Manada. Krishna nama sada labe. Again and again this is mentioned, but because we have already mentioned it, the first point is one should always chant the holy name. Right? So, and vraje radha Krishna seva manasa karibe. Mentally keep serving or worshipping their lordships. Okay, there is another point here. Okay, 11. A sannyasi or renunciant should not live in his village with his relatives. Should not live in his village with his relatives. Like we saw, if someone's home is favorable for Krishna consciousness, one can live at home. But if someone's home is unfavorable for Krishna consciousness, one should be willing to give it up. But having given up, one should not just stay in one's village just because he will get some facilities and other such things, or he is attached to his relatives, even though they may not be of his Krishna consciousness. That is not very favorable. As stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, sanyasi radharmana he sanyasa kariya nija janmastane rahe kutumbalaiya. After accepting sanyas, it is not the duty of a sanyasi to remain at his birthplace encircled by devotees, by his relatives. This is not favorable. Then, 12th. A renunciant should not meet a king or woman. Do not meet a king or woman. So meeting a king, because for two reasons. One is, you may be enamored by the wealth that he has and you may want some facilities and wealth from the king. And woman, because you may get attracted to enjoy sensual pleasures. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, the Lord said, Virakta sanyasi amar rajadarshan tridarshana samavishayera baksha. Since I am in the renounced order, it is dangerous for me to meet a king as to meet a woman. To meet either would be just like drinking poison. Okay, now the 13th principle is that a renunciant should remain faultless. Okay, which means he should not perform things which are visibly, people may raise a gun and say, hey, why is he doing like this? One should not allow people to raise their fingers. So he says, a renunciant should remain faultless. As stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Shuklava Strema Sribindu Yelchena Lukai Sanyasira Alpachidra Sarvaloke Gai Prabhuka He Purna Yeche Dugde Rakala Shura Bindu Pate Keha Nakare Parash. As soon as the general public finds a little fault in the behavior of the sannyasi, they advertise it like wildfire. Can you imagine? This is actually during the days of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when advertisement was not, they did not have television, they did not have the internet, they did not have social media and all that. As soon as the general public finds a little fault in the behavior of a sannyasi, they advertise it like wildfire. A black spot of ink cannot be hidden on a white cloth. It is always very prominent. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said, there may be much milk in a big pot, but if it is contaminated by a drop of liquor, it is untouchable. So therefore, the sannyasis should be extra careful. They should be extra careful to remain, to maintain a very, very faultless character and activities, external activities. The behavior of the renunciant is explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Premegarga ramana ratri divase snana bhikshadi nirvaha karena abhyase. His mind was absorbed in great ecstatic love day and night. He ate and bathed simply out of habit. So, of course, this is the actual, I mean, these are principles of, you know, those who are certainly at the stage of bhava and prema, right? Mind should be absorbed. In ecstatic love, day and night. Of course, this is not meant for a brahmachari for sure. Not that, of course, a brahmachari may be qualified at this particular level. But this is specifically for those who are at the stage of bhava and prema. They eat and bathe simply out of habit. Like that. And the symptoms of a pseudo renunciant are stated by the Lord in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Okay. So, what are the symptoms of a pseudo renunciate? Okay, what are the symptoms of a pseudo renunciate? He said, Prabhuka hai vairagi kare prakriti sambhashan dekite na paro amita haravadan Durvara Indriya Kare Vishaya Grahan Daravi Prakriti Hare Munera Piman Shudraji Vasaba Markata Vairagya Kariya Indriya Charayambule Prakriti Sambhashiya Prabhuka He Mora Vashana He Mora Man Prakambashi Vairagina Kare Darashan Amita Sanyasi Apanare Virakta Karimani Darshanara Hudure Prakritir Namayadishuni Taba hinvikara paye mora tanuman prakriti darshana stira haya konajan. So he says that the Lord said, I cannot tolerate seeing the face of a person who has accepted the renounced order of life, but who still talks intimately with them. So strongly do the senses adhere to the objects of their enjoyment that indeed a wooden statue of a woman attracts the mind of even a great saintly person. There are many persons with little in their possession who accept the renounced order of life like monkeys. they go here and there, engaging in sense gratification and speaking intimately with women. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, my mind is not under my control. It does not like to see anyone in the renounced order who talks intimately with women. I am a sannyasi and I certainly consider myself renounced. But not to speak of seeing a woman, if I even hear the name of a woman, I feel changes in my mind and body. Therefore, who could remain moved by the sight of a woman? It is very difficult. Of course, these are statements which are spoken in a particular context for in a very instructive way. That does not mean Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mind gets actually agitated by seeing the form of a woman or hearing. But this is just to set the right example for others. Okay. But then he says, again, detachment in the heart of a householder is greatly appreciated. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Lord says, Grihastha hai anna he rai shadvir vargera vashe vishai hai asanyasira upadyeshe. So he says, although Ramananda Rai was a householder, he was not under the control of the six kinds of bodily change. Although apparently a pounds and shillings man, he advised even persons in the renounced order. Okay, this is a very important principle. Okay. 16th principle is that detachment in the heart of a householder should be appreciated. Oh, he is just a householder. He is just a householder. He is attached to family people. I am a brahmachari. I am a sannyasi. So he is just a householder. One should not think like that. If genuine detachment is seen in a householder, that should be greatly appreciated. And he gives the example of Ramananda Rai. Okay, just give me 1 second. How are we doing with time and slides? I just wanted a quick... Okay, 115 slides. Okay. So then, how much time we have? We have about 6 minutes. Maybe one or two more slides will complete. Okay. So then he says, a renunciant should not eat foods or accept goods from materialistic people, nor should he invite other renunciants to eat foods or accept goods from such people. So 17th principle, right? Yeah, 17. Do not accept food or goods from materialistic people. Just because they want to donate, we cannot take like that. Of course, if they want to donate and if it is directly used in the service of the deity, is different. But for oneself, one should not accept. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami concludes as follows. Vishayi radravyalai akari nimantran prasanna nahaya ihai jani praburman mora chitta dravyalai te nahaya nirmal ehi nimantrana deki pratishta matrafal. So he was thinking, because Raghunath Das Goswami, his father used to send money for his maintenance, and using that money he used to cook a feast and invite Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for prasadam. But at some point he understood that this will not please the Supreme Lord. So he thought, I invite Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by accepting goods from material people. I know that the Lord's mind is not satisfied by this. My consciousness is impure because I accept all these goods from people who are interested only in pounds, shilling, and pence. Therefore, by this kind of invitation, I only get some material reputation, but this is not really good for me. So he thought like that. And the Lord replied in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Vishaye ra anna kaile manila malina hayaman malinamana hailena he Krishna smaran Vishaye ra anna haya rajasa nimantran data bhokta duhara malina hayaman Vishaye ra anna kaile malina hayaman. When one eats food offered by materialistic people, one's mind becomes contaminated. Malinamana haile nahe Krishna smaran. And when the mind becomes contaminated, one will not be able to meditate on Krishna. Vishayira annahai rajasa nidran. So when one accepts an invitation from a person contaminated by rajogun, data bhokta duhara malina hayaman, then the person who offers the food and the person who accepts it are both materially contaminated. So one should not accept this. Okay. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask, add? There is one question in the chat box I'll take and then we will go for verbal questions. In temple, people come and give prasadam sponsorship for a particular event. They give money and sponsor prasadam. Well, I mean, this is one problem. You know, we cannot not accept also. And at the same time, so in such cases, you know, it is very important. Of course, it's very difficult though, but it is very important that we follow the principle of strictly following the mode of prasadam prayers. Sharira avidya jal jadendriya tahe kal jiva phele vishay sagare taramadye jiva ati lobomai sudurmati take jeta katina samsare. So, Mahaprasade Govinde Nama Brahmane. So we meditate and, you know, as far as possible, even though it is very difficult, as far as possible, try to honor prasadam in the right mood and not engage in enjoying it. But it is very difficult, actually. It is very difficult, but one should follow it as much as possible. Of course, in the temple, it's not easy. Yeah. Yes, the Chipran Prabhu.
Prabhuji, Dhanat Panam, Prabhuji, please accept. Prabhuji, I was just thinking about the yesterday, I think last week's class and this class also. So some of the principles what we discussed in today's class about renunciation, like not meeting the king or not meeting the woman, all these principles, like today's, as per the Deshakala Patra, it may change, na, Prabhuji, because now they have to meet because for the preaching purpose, even the sannyasi has to meet and the sannyasi has to discuss. So it is like in that time, Mahaprabhu was so strict that even after repeated requests, he couldn't, you know, even there is no way that he can meet the king. Although the king was a great devotee of the Lord.
Correct.
Now present scenario is... They are all Nawab Hussein Shahs only. The kings are like that. They are all Nastik people also. They are kings. Or the rulers are there like that. So still we have to meet them, influence them to way that the preaching activity should grow in that area.
Yeah. So that principle, so in one sense, as far as possible, there are, as you rightly said, there are Deshkal Patra considerations here. Like if you see Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj's preaching, he literally preached only to kings, actually.
Yeah.
not only to kings, but a very prime part of his preaching was only to the kings.
Yeah.
In the African continent. So, but the point is, what is the mood? But the same Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went and met Ramananda Rai.
Yeah.
Ramananda Rai, in one sense, if Prataprudha Maharaj was the king, Ramananda Rai was a minister.
Yeah.
So on that same gauge, if you see, Ramananda Rai was also a pounds and shillings man only.
Yeah.
And if you say, but no, but Ramananda Rai was a devotee. What about Pratap Rudra Maharaj? Was he not a devotee? So the principle is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, certain times he acted to set the right example. But at the same time, in application, there were certainly Deshakala Patra considerations. So when one understands the heart of a particular principle, then one certainly will understand how that principle needs to be applied according to time, place and circumstances. So this is very critical, and for that definitely one needs proper association and proper guidance. But certainly these principles one, so because in the association of a king, one will naturally start, king can facilitate a lot of personal facilities and one may get very much attached to it. So, yeah. I mean, king means rich people and everything, actually.
Yeah, materialistic, actually, basically materialistic. Yeah.
Materialistic people. And along with that comes a lot of facilities. And because in those days, it was not, the whole Vaishnavism was not institutionalized.
Yeah.
There were individual people following. So whatever facility comes, it actually comes to the individual and not the institution. So in an institutional setup, when someone is preaching to such people, then one should be very careful not to take it for personal gratification, but utilize it for the institutional purpose. So that should be followed. So that, yes, is the
principle. Thank you, Prabhuji. Another, just this is not today's discussion, but I think last week we were discussing about, you know, many aspects about we should not cheat the government or whoever is like those who are working in the professions. So Prabhuji, one thing is like during the time of Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswamis, they were not having an option to leave the job. You know, they were stuck at Nawab Hussain Shah. They were to serve, although they don't want to serve, but they were serving. But they are so intelligently practicing Krishna consciousness in such a way that they were like, you know, without cheating. Definitely they may not have to practice openly, but they were trying to practice. Means, whatever we need to do to protect our bhakti in such scenarios, like rajas are not like a devotees nowadays. None of the government activities are like, so, you know, they are like not like previous kings. Previous kings were worshipped as the representative of the god. So it is like a cheating a king. It's like you are cheating the Krishna only, because they are the perfect representative of Krishna. But now if you see the scenario, they are not representing Krishna as of now. So that exactly, if you take a sense, we have to protect wherever we are, we have to protect our bhakti lata bij. Otherwise, there are chances that we may get, it is very difficult to, first of all, it is very difficult to practice. And at the same time, we wanted to try to follow perfectly. At the same time, we need to also internally protect our bhakti in these such scenarios. Yeah. So yes, how to take it? Because yes, definitely that principles may not be changed for an individual person. But at the same time, like the Deshakala Patra principle also may be applicable here also for devotees who are at a high influential post where in a government machineries, they have to protect themselves. And
yeah, that is why they should be strongly attached to advanced devotees.
Yeah.
So when they are strongly attached to advanced devotees, and if they very diligently practice their Krishna consciousness, then definitely they'll be protected.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. We have completed about 115 odd slides, another about 80 odd slides we have, 80, 90 slides we have. I think maybe in two or three sessions, we will be completing Bhakti Aloka. So, but please stay tuned. After Bhakti Aloka, we are planning future courses also in this day slot, 7 to 9 slot. I'll keep you posted. We are just about finalizing, what we are going to discuss after Bhakti Aloka. But stay tuned, you will get all the intimations about future courses. So, yeah. But thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur Pad ki jai, Shri Bhakti Aloka ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.